Greetings and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of December 6th, 2015. This is Jack Bressett Mills. So happy to have a conversation today with Jessica. First, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul verses for his week 36. This one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse 36. When I listen deeply, I feel I can hear the universe in all its unknowable mystery. Live as though you were a spirit shining in an earthly body. Ennoble every task with your touch. Offer up yourself to find yourself. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. Verse 36a. It is as though the stars demand my attention, insist that I find a way, respond to their call to fill my actions with the burning of their light. Jessica, if you can listen to her for more than a minute or two without falling in love, I don't understand. Thank you so much, Jesse, for talking. Here you go.
I'm actually in a funny place right now. I'm in my little home, which is inside a giant oven. I'm escaping the rain.
And what kind of oven is big enough to climb in?
It's a giant Adobe oven. It got built way too big.
Oh, lovely.
So I can actually stand up in it and lay down, and it's a very cozy little home.
Made for bread or made for pizza or something like that?
Yeah. But I think it's too big to use efficiently for actual cooking.
And so it's been abandoned?
Well, it wasn't built that too long ago, but they haven't cooked in it ever. And instead, they had some couch surfers living in it, and now I'm living in it.
Very cool.
More long term.
I was just talking with someone about helping people. That, the question isn't, how come you're helping people? The question is, why aren't you helping people, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so few of us actually take the time to help others. In this culture, anyway, that's what I feel. Maybe it's not true. Maybe those who are helping are hidden and invisible, and they're keeping everything going. But it sure seems like you are in the minority. You and your friends in Food Not Bombs are in the minority. It seems like that. Do you feel like that? You're in the minority?
I think we're definitely. You get a lot of praise for being selfish, for kind of focusing on yourself and your career and moving yourself forward. So there's a lot of pressure to be selfish, I think.
You mean in this capitalistic idea?
Yeah.
I guess that must be human nature, though, because who could just tell us that and have us believe it? It must be that we come out that way somehow, most of us. You know what I mean?
I don't know, because then I think that we can see as soon as you go into another kind of setting, people very quickly become supportive of each other and helping each other and putting others first. So I don't know. I think that maybe that wouldn't come about if it was in human nature.
Now say it again. So now, of course, our culture started and came about through human nature, right? No, I mean, maybe it's true that there are devils and gods that are leading us through things, but we can pretend it's just us, right? I mean, when I've thought of bureaucracy that way, why would anyone want a pyramidal structure of one boss and then managers and then workers, and I can never get ahead, and people are always telling me what to do. But we create the darn system that way.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about selfishness being the guiding light to not helping people and getting ahead, isn't that something we thought of? Isn't that just in our nature? Or do you think, of course, if you're born into it, you can learn it, but who invented the thing in the first place?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Boy, boy. Do you guys have philosophical conversations?
Here at Funabons?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them revolve around veganism and the government. But this is an interesting group because they're all vegans and feel very strongly about it, and anarchists.
Right. I saw a cute joke. It was in text form. It was in a text, and someone says, "Is anyone here a doctor?" And someone says, "I'm a vegan." Does anyone make an objection to veganism? Maybe you would, because you like meat. Does anyone make an objection there to saying, why do you not think the plants have a right to life?
Yeah, I do bring that up. And I do eat meat here, and they're okay with that, as long as I don't contaminate their dishes and things.
Of course, if it's...
But I think...
Go ahead.
It's interesting because I have a lot of conversations with them about veganism, and I'm still trying to understand where they're coming from, because I'm far from being vegan, because I also feel if we're not going to eat meat, then we shouldn't eat plants, and then we shouldn't eat at all.
Right.
But I think a lot of the reasons for being vegan is everything that goes on around our meat industry.
Yes.
And not as much about meat itself.
Very good.
And I totally understand that. And I can.
Me too.
That makes sense to me not to eat that meat.
For example, if I don't personally buy meat and I don't personally eat meat, but if someone puts meat in front of me, that meat has already been sacrificed.
Yeah.
Right? And then if I waste it, that's even worse. I should honor the thing. I should honor the life given.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, and the people here actually, if I cook up a meat dish and they're hungry, they will eat some of it because they also feel more strongly about not wasting food, especially here, being food not bombs.
Right.
So they will eat it if it's there, but they'd rather not. And we live right next to some pastures where some cows are, and we see the cows getting split up from each other and calling all night long, trying to still communicate even though they can't be near each other, and some of the cows getting butchered right next to the other cows.
Yeah.
While having to watch the whole thing and then having the hides laid out in their pasture and things. Yeah. So we're right next to some things that are hard to watch with animals and the meat and everything.
Yeah, that's the capitalism again. We demand, not outwardly, but when we go to the store, we look at the two choices of meat and we get the cheaper one.
Yeah.
In every case. And so that is an actual demand that they treat the animals as badly as they possibly can, because that way they make more money and they can charge less.
Right.
The power of capitalism is right in that you can have all the great ideals of how you believe in dignity of each living being, but then you go to the store and you go, well, I only have $10, I'm going to buy this. And without even feeling badly about it, you can feel then good about that too. I saved $3.
Yeah.
But really, you have caused a cow to be miserable. You know, you've caused you've caused a chicken to be stuck in a warehouse 10 stories high.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And then it becomes complicated because then a narrative arises of your dollars is the way that you can change the world. So buy the right thing, which I think is a very good practice to have if you have the money to be able to buy the right thing. But then it also shames people who aren't able to buy the right thing, and then they feel like they can't be doing their part to help out and creating a better world because they need to be feeding their family.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's all complicated.
And if all they have is a 7-Eleven, they take what they can get. Their neighborhood is a rotten neighborhood, and they can't get a good store in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back to your Food Not Bombs, you say, and I want to hear the result of this, that you're not doing anybody a favor by feeding them, right? You're not coming in as the help the Christian or the Jewish or the Muslim care, you're not coming in as saviors to help. You're saying, look, there's plenty here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is doing people favors, because there are people who come every week and who say they really need that meal and it's really helpful for them. But I think it's important not to have the mentality that we're the saviors going in, and more that we're just sharing a meal with people that we've gotten from waste what would be waste otherwise. So it's not, and we're all just sharing the meal and trying to think about why we're in the situation in the first place, that we have to go get food out of the dumpster and feed people that are hungry. So it's more about sharing the meal and using what would be waste, as opposed to coming in every week and saving these poor people from the situations that they're in.
Now, they might learn the difference. I don't know if they know the difference. They come to a place where there's a free meal, and they're thankful, and they eat it. And you say you pass out literature there, and maybe you have conversations there. But in the wider sense, does the world see what you're doing? Is there an outward national or international spokesperson or brochure that's going everywhere? Is there money collected? You guys are doing physical labor by dumpster diving and getting waste food and bringing it and preparing it. Is there a financial center, or is there a website where people send you guys money to get out the word that what you're doing is obviously correct and it should be done everywhere?
Yeah, well, it's really decentralized. There's not like some kind of head organization that's making this all happen around the globe. But we do have a donation jar when we serve food, and that usually brings us enough each week to buy propane to do the cooking and any little supplies we need.
So really. So really, it's an idea that has caught on, and it's a live enough idea that it just catches fire whenever anybody hears about it. It sounds so marvelous.
Yeah, and it's intentionally trying to be decentralized. Some of the literature we have out is how Food Not Bombs works and how to start your own chapter wherever you are. So they try to make it really easy to be a part of it and keep it going. And there's a paper on how the best way to set up when you're serving food, what's worked the best for other people, but you don't have to go with that if it doesn't work for you. And what Food Not Bombs is about. And so they try to really decentralize it a lot so that it's really accessible for anybody to be able to do it. It's great. Like, just go out and find food that's being thrown out. Go talk to the grocery store and say, when you throw the box out, could you just set it next to the dumpster instead of putting it in a dumpster, so that we could get those fresh veggies and not have to dig through all the trash cans? And or maybe we can walk right in and you can hand it to us, and then just go serve it in a plaza somewhere.
Of course.
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That being said, there are a lot of people who donate a lot of time to create a website or come and build a composting toilet or take pictures or make flyers and those kind of things. So people are giving a lot of time to and skills they have and resources to Food Not Bombs all over the place.
On a human-to-human level, of course, a store owner, a restaurateur, a waiter would love to see someone using the waste food. I think it's one of the crushing realities of being a store owner or a waiter or a cook is just to throw away good food daily. But how can they actually do it? I really think most localities have laws against feeding poor people.
Yeah. It's a real struggle. And here in Taos, it's actually, we're pretty lucky in that most places are, I guess there aren't so many legalities around being able to give food away that otherwise would be thrown out. But Food Not Bombs is has a lot of struggles with being arrested when they're trying to serve food and having lawsuits and all kinds of things because they don't buy permits to set up and they don't have the right whatever it takes to be able to be serving homeless people or food or any of that. So the man who actually is one of the founders of Funa Bombs and who started this one that I'm at here has been in Santa Cruz this whole time I've been here, fighting lawsuits and fighting homelessness laws and things that are all going on there, which is really sad.
Of course.
But he's been arrested so many times.
It needs people like that, and you need to have the public aware. It makes no sense to forbid people from being fed. It makes no sense.
Except
a wealthy group of people who like their gated community don't want to encourage you don't want to encourage people to be poor. Imagine they actually think that if you feed poor people, you'll be encouraging them to stay poor.
Right.
As though there's some advantage to it. Go ahead.
And also, it's also the mentality of not in my backyard, where they're like, well, if we make sleeping in public illegal and feeding people without a permit illegal, then everyone who's needing to sleep in public and needing to and relying on that food will have to just go somewhere else, and then we won't have to see them around here.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier about being selfish. The idea that I'm special because my parents have money, I must be I must be better.
Yeah.
Even though we don't really have that. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken here. Maybe there actually is a large group of people who think that if they're born to wealthy parents that they're special. They may actually think that.
Mm.
Who knows?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, Jesse, for talking. That's been beautiful.
Yeah.
And maybe before Christmas we'll talk again?
Yeah, that would be great.
And
And how was your trip then?
We had such fun. We mainly climb a mountain to feel better when we get down. It usually hurts a great deal when we're climbing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we appreciate the little cup of oats with hot water, how wonderful it is when you're 5 hours from your car. It's really very nice.
Right. Yeah, I hear those beautiful mountains to climb, but the elevation is so high that I have a hard time being able to go up at all.
Yeah, you've been living your whole life at sea level almost.
Right, yeah. Even just coming, I'm in a basin here, but I passed out one of my first nights here. And
wow, yeah.
I'm just being able to start to climb up a little higher than this now, but they're beautiful, gorgeous mountains all around me with snow all over the top of them.
Apparently you're teaching your bones to make more red blood, so good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you, Jesse. Thanks for talking.
I love you too. Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Well, thanks again, Jesse. So nice. Thank you for listening. Try to listen again next week if you can. If you'd like to leave me a message, I'd love it. ReasoningWithAnOptimist.net has a page where you can leave a comment. This is Jack Brissett-Mills. Bye-bye.